Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Thanks to Skylights there for the introduction music, as always. And introducing Callum back to the show after his extended pre-season. But what a way to welcome you back, Callum, because how good were we last night?
We were absolutely bloody brilliant. Thank you very much for the welcome back. It was very much needed. But I'd like to say welcome back, you know, to all the new viewers and listeners that are tuning in. Plenty of listeners. The last episode with David Priest, which, you know, wasn't allowed on. Thanks, Glenn. Has exceeded the listens for Jack Bling, Jack Grimmer's podcast. So I would like to say, you know, you can go back and check that out if you feel like it after this one, of course. And I mentioned the subscribers as well there. If you are watching and you've not subscribed already, please be sure to or follow us wherever you're listening in as well. Plenty new subscribers recently, over 500 now. Thank you very much to every single one of you.
I know, definitely exceeding our expectations, and even just seeing how many views that last episode got, over 1,100 now. And, you know, we should probably say thanks to those of you in Sweden that are tuning in. Hopefully we did the preview of your team justice. I'm sorry, this review is not going to be too kind on your team, but you might have wanted to hear what we had to say. And, you know, Jack, if you're listening after your day out at the cricket, we're sorry that you've been dislodged as number one, but I'm sure you're eager to hear how we got on last night, as I know you do tune in to the episodes to keep up to date with Aberdeen. But no, good to have you back, Callum. It's been a long time without you. Mm-hmm. But I suppose before we get into the nitty-gritty of the footballing side, we should just extend a thanks and a congratulations to the ticket office staff who, you know, had to put in a lot of effort over the last week to get the 5,500 of us back into Pataudry. Obviously, both of us lucky enough to do so. Mm-hmm. Really big task involved. I know there was some problems with the queuing, I think, for the south stand last night. But, you know, these things are going to have teething problems. But on the whole, I think an excellent job done by Jamie and the staff, and also Lynn, the SLO, and the supporters engagement team. I think you'd agree on that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, other than obviously the big queues, which was very much expected, thought it all ran very, very smoothly and a very, very smooth operation. I was delighted to be back. It was absolutely brilliant.
It was, and how good was that atmosphere for only 5,500? It felt a lot more in the ground. So you were in the upper deck, weren't you?
Upper deck of the Dick Donald, which is not where I'd usually frequent, but it had to be. But honestly, didn't mind where it was. No matter where it was good. But I should also mention, anyone who's in the red shed, that looked absolutely brilliant. Yeah, fair play to all of you. Brought the atmosphere, very much enjoyed it. And hopefully that'll be a sign of things to come as well, and only get better with more people as well.
Yeah, and you know, I definitely had reservations about what the red shed was going to be like last night, given it was going to obviously be the first time and people were going to be displaced, so possibly from the main stand with that being out of use. But a lot of people in certainly the centre behind the goal were standing up, creating atmosphere. And certainly the scenes we saw behind the goal when Constein's header went in, people, you know, surging down to the front. It just felt great to be back. Obviously, the stewards did their best to enforce those that weren't wearing their masks to wear them, but that weared off after about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were doing their job in enforcing those protocols, I suppose. But, you know, most people still managed to enjoy the match day experience. And I think you would struggle not to enjoy the match day when you're watching a performance like that, because, Callum, based on last season, it's been a long time since we've had something so positive to discuss.
Oh, God, yes. It feels like it's been forever. I feel like sometimes last season we were just doing the same podcast over and over again after watching the same game, essentially, over and over again. But what a feeling that was yesterday. What a performance it was. And after 502 days not being there, I sort of forgot how much of a difference it really does make, getting that sort of escape as well, being there. Very much welcome that is back.
I saw your tweet about that, about like being back at the football and it being an escape, and I totally agree. Even, you know, I finished work sharp yesterday, was into Pittodrie Bar by 4:30, meeting up with Stu and Brune, and even that pre-match moment, catching up with friends that we've not had for so long, let alone going to the football, it just felt great. Standing with your mates, okay, it wasn't as many as you'd have liked, but we'll take it for now. It was just that sense of normality creeping back into our lives. And then obviously we've had this ecstatic Friday because the performance was so good. And you just forget what a good result can do to your mood as well.
Yeah, 100% totally agree. And the pre-match thing as well, because I went and met up with a few boys from the bus that we go on, Blazing Lambs, and beforehand. And I mean, it'd been, what, over a year and a half since I saw most of them. Absolutely brilliant. And went to the game with my dad, brother, and one of my pals. And it just felt brilliant to be back. I'm so happy. I'm genuinely delighted.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, Nicola Forbes summed it up on Twitter saying, if that's a taste of things to come, then inject it. And, you know, that really does sum yesterday up perfectly, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't put it better myself, to be honest. I just hope it's plenty more of that is to come. And so far, all that we've got to base it off, that's going to be the case. But let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
Oh, well, it's not like you did not get ahead of yourself.
Oh, I've been ahead of myself. I'm trying to reel it in now. I was very much excited after that.
I'm trying to be professional.
I know. I was like, oh, we'll win the lot. Yeah, nice one, Callum. Now you're trying to be professional as soon as the camera goes on.
Yeah. It's not like this is our second or third take of this at all.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm out of practice, all right? Leave me alone.
But, you know, the style of football we played yesterday, okay, we took about 15, 20 minutes to get into the game, Haken probably started the brighter of the two teams. But once we settled into the game, we really saw that style of football, kind of high press game that Stephen Glass is trying to impose on the team. And what really surprised me was how we kept that going until the 97th minute. You know, you look at the last goal coming in the 93rd minute there. You know, I was saying, oh, once it gets to the 80th minute, we'll probably just sit and defend what we've got. Wasn't the case. And that was so refreshing to see.
100%. Basically, the whole thing was, but that's a very, very good point. I think under a certain someone, maybe once we got that third goal, we probably would have just sat on it. So it was very much refreshing to see them keep going and keep going out and deliver what they've promised so far, essentially. Very much a welcome sight. And just, God, I can't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I thought, there's no way we would be enjoying things this much if we hadn't changed manager, essentially. But
no, and I think as well, when you looked at preseason, I mean, this time last week when our game against Reading had been called off due to COVID amongst the Reading squad, there was doubts. You know, I was one of them that was voicing my concern over, you know, lack of match practice, bit of concern that you looked at Haken's form coming into this game. Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing to worry about.
I know, we just did blow them away, didn't we? And we didn't look like we'd only played two preseason games, did it? And so what's the intensity going to be like? Must be like in training, if that's how fit they were. Because they looked like the team that were leggy, if anything.
Yeah, definitely. We will come on to that. I suppose we'll look into the game as a whole. But when the team news was announced, there was a few raised eyebrows. Obviously, Grant Campbell joined me for the preview. He's back on the subs bench eating his humble pie. He was one that voiced concern at Ross McCrory filling in at centre back. He did highlight Funzo Ojo possibly being involved in Stephen Glass's plans, and we did see that with him coming in into the midfield. But Grant won't mind me saying that he kind of called out the McCrory thing, saying, is he suited to being played at centre back? We'll come on to the goal that we conceded later, but a pretty solid performance from Ross, all things considered.
I think so. He is very versatile, it would seem, which I think we knew when we signed him. But I was very, very impressed with him at centre-half. A partnership we've not seen, I don't think at all, not that I can remember, him and Considine. Yeah. Well, I suppose they were in a three most of last season, so it wouldn't have been at all. But very, very impressed. And if he can slot in anywhere and do that kind of performance every week, then I'm a very happy boy. But yeah, as you mentioned, Funso King Ojo as well, back in this starting 11. I thought maybe he wouldn't even be at Pittodrie by now, to be honest. But what a performance he delivered as well. Genuinely, I was genuinely shocked. Very, very impressed. But it's interesting to see him in the way he was playing, sort of white left of the three. I don't really know what was going on. But it wasn't in this holding midfield role that we've previously seen him in, and he seemed to flourish, which was interesting.
Is it too early to brandish back the Belgian Pirlo?
Never, ever too early. Never too early. Never too early.
But no, it's an interesting point you just made there, because I suppose last season, alongside McCrory and Ferguson, when we saw him, probably did sit as a deeper midfielder or that holding role. But he seemed to have a much freer role, and he was almost the one creating the chances, and he had two good chances in the first half especially. I think he'll be disappointed not to score with the first chance he had. Mm. And the second one, the way he took the ball down from Jet and then turned the defenders, and he just got unlucky that the ball got stuck at his feet. But, you know, Red Point of View mentioned on Twitter that he, you know, it was a special mention, you know, confident, motivated, and the impact that he had on the game. And I think, you know, with him being probably the surprise, if you want to call it that, inclusion in the starting 11, almost from a fan's point of view, I don't know if you'll agree, I felt there's maybe a bit of pressure on him to perform given, you know, how he left the club in January for Wigan.
I'd say so, definitely. And he, let's be honest, dealt with it no problem, didn't he? As I said, I was a bit shocked that he's even still at Pittodrie after he went out for 6 months. But I suppose when Stephen Glass hadn't had a chance to properly see him, properly work with him every day. But he flourished. And Glass did say that he was saying, well, that's not, might not be where he plays every week, but in terms of going into this game, we felt he could do an effective job there. And he did exactly that. It's a shame he went off injured, to be honest. But maybe it was just a bit of cramp, bit of leggy sort of.
Yeah, I wondered if it was maybe just a bit of a precautionary substitution. Don't want to risk it too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we said on our Twitter last night, if you want to follow us on there at @RTG_podcast, you know, I hate the saying, oh, like, you know, when a player comes back from injury, oh, they're like a new signing. But that's really what Ojo felt like last night. A total player with a new lease of life. To impress a manager, you know, Stephen Glass said that at full time, that, you know, Ojo was a player he never got the chance to see last season, and he's come in and he's impressed in pre-season, and he's transferred his application in training onto the pitch. Now, maybe that wasn't, you know, the positioning was what was affecting him last season, but it's great to see there's obviously a clear hunger and desire right through the squad, I should say, based on last night, but that it's also coming from the training pitch and being relayed onto the pitch and having that positive impact. Because as we said countless times last season, Callum, we never had that drive and desire in midfield. And with Brown, Ferguson and Ojo, we had that in abundance last night.
100%. Can't fault any of the three at all. And interesting you say, it's good to see him carrying that from the training ground to the pitch. How many times did we say last season as well, what are they even working on? Yeah. It's clear to see what they're working on now. It's very encouraging signs. I'm struggling to find anything negative, and that's not like me at all.
Well, you said it, not me. Now, we'll come on to the debutants. You know, we had some new players, fans getting their first chance to see them. And I think it's fair to say they all impressed in their own way. But with for all the debutants that we had, it was the ever reliable Andy Considine that got the goal scoring underway. And did anybody know it was a set piece? Alan Russell, set piece specialist? Because our set pieces looked good last night.
Yeah, definitely. It was some delivery from young Calvin Ramsey as well. It was interesting. He was taking it from both sides as well. But how fitting is it that it was King Andrew Considine that scored the first goal up Torrey for a proper crowd in 502 days. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Given that he scored the last time there was a crowd up Torrey as well.
I know, it seemed very fitting. And I was thinking, oh, what if he's not in the starting 11 anymore? What if we don't get to see him? But no, it was very, very encouraging. And it looked like one sort of straight off the training ground, considering how open he was at the back post. And the fact Brown went to Ramsey as well after the goal to sort of congratulate him, it did look like something that we've been working on, which is very encouraging.
Yeah, and I think just on that goal briefly, for those of you that might have been watching on Red TV, obviously Steve Tosh shouted on Cole Combs. It was possibly shouts for a penalty. I think it was Ryan Hedges was hauled to the ground, but got a bit of play on there. And Steve Tosh, that's another former player interview of ours. If you want to check that one out, you can scroll back through and listen to that in the archives. But Scott Brown there, you mentioned congratulating Calvin Ramsey for the assist. What did you make of Scott Brown's performance overall last night?
Very impressed. Can't fault him. Can't fault him at all. At times last season when I watched for Celtic, I thought legs have gone. But it didn't look like that at all last night, rather interestingly. I was sceptical when we signed him, off the pitch and on the pitch reasons. I hate to say it, I'm buying into it. I've bought into it, maybe. But very, very impressive. He basically what we were lacking most of last season, essentially, that fighting midfield. Yeah. Composure as well when needed. And great leader, for guys like Calvin Ramsey, McKenzie when he came on, things like that. These players with experience around those players can only be a good thing.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at the kind of the start of the game, in the first few minutes, the ball was pretty much trundling out for a goal kick. And Scott Brown was bursting a gut to try and win the ball. It probably had no right to win or was never going to win, but just showed that intensity.
Perhaps he was pulling a Steve Tosh. Remember when Steve Tosh told us he used to try and fool the fans and sort of get them on side by chasing these kind of loose balls. Maybe that's what he's trying to do. Maybe he is trying to impress. You never know.
But I think what you mentioned there about leadership was something that I noticed, because the way he seemed to talk Ojo through the game at times. Jack McKenzie, Jack Gerwin, he came on in the second half, just pointing them out, watch where you pick up the man. Just that little bit, like you said, leadership qualities, organisation, experience that we've probably lacked in the centre of midfield to guide players through the 90 minutes. It's not that, we've been severely lacking. It's just that little bit. That I don't know what the right word is here.
Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, that's a very good word for you, Callum.
I know, thank you.
yeah, we'll go with that then. Just to guide these players through it, and that really was quite telling, I thought last night.
Yep, 100% agree. Saw it throughout the whole game. Also good to see when he can get involved with the referee. Love that as well. It's just what you needed. And it is, for when Joe Lewis was captain, there was a lot of questions over if he could be a leader from goals, if it was affecting his performance. But that does sort of show what you're missing when you have that sort of captain in the middle of the park, able to guide these sort of players through the game. Exactly what you need. But we should also mention guys like Jett. I remember he went across, I think, was it to Calvin Ramsey, or it was maybe Jack McKenzie as well, and he was speaking to him before we took a corner and things like that. It's just exactly what you want to see from these sort of more experienced players.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll come to Jett in a sec, but you just mentioned Calvin Ramsey there. 17, I know he's already made his debut for the Dons, but it was his European debut. And for a player, like we said, 17-year-old, absolute standout. I know Lewis Ferguson came away with the man of the match, but Calvin Ramsey should have definitely been running him close for that award.
100%. It seems insane that he's 17. It's genuinely mental, and it's mental to me now that there's players like that much younger than me playing. And I now do feel old. People did say that was going to come, and it's coming. But no, very, very impressed. I've been impressed with him every time we've seen him, but that was on a big stage in front of a decent enough crowd as well. Like in a
probably the
big
biggest
tie
crowd
for us.
He
yeah,
might have played it. Played
probably
in front
must
of.
Be. And in a pretty big tie for us as well. And he didn't shy away from it. Looks good going forward. Solid defensively as well. He's only going to improve with more experience and from learning from these sort of guys. Will he be around for a very, very long time? Probably, possibly not, but that's exactly what they're trying to do here, really, isn't it? Bring these guys through. If we can sell them for a lot of profit, good stuff. But we'll enjoy it while he's here, and I was very impressed. Literally can't fault him after last night.
No. And you mentioned there, Jett obviously making his debut alongside Christian Ramirez up top. I think both have put in excellent shifts across the game. Obviously, Ramirez not lasting the full 90. But what were your thoughts on both players overall?
Jett, I think there was one header maybe he didn't win that I can recall. Winning everything in the air. He's an absolute unit. And he's got very good feet for a big man. And Christian Ramirez, my pal I was at the game with, was basically saying, he looks like he's playing with pillows strapped to his boots because every little touch is like perfectly cushioned. Everything he does, he just looks the part. He looks the part. They both do, and it's a good partnership from what we've seen. Hopefully, they can build on that. Obviously, brilliant that Ramirez went on and got his goal. But another thing I love, which is anytime the sort of crowd were going a little bit, they were absolutely loving it. Give it the big ins. I think Jett was going like that after the game. There, like sort of let's hear it kind of thing. I can't fault them. I'm in love with them, Glenn.
Yeah, no, I did like that at 0-0 in the first half. We got a corner and Ramirez was, arms in the air, trying to get the noise from the red shed going. And like you say, at full time, Jett doing the Pasquinelli to try and get the soak up the atmosphere and doing a wee jig in front of the Mirkland and dancing along the south stand. Absolutely loving life. And we've said it before the season started, or before we played against Haken yesterday, that sort of infectious love that these two players are showing for the club is rubbing off on the support, because we want to see players have that desire to play for Aberdeen because we all had the dream of wanting to play for Aberdeen. So when we see players enthused by playing for the club, we'll immediately support them. I think you can clearly see that with the boisterous support Ramirez was getting throughout the 90 minutes.
Certainly, well deserved. Great song. You can't fault it. But also, not only that, the way that they've sort of, they're not from here and they've bought into not only the club but sort of the city as well. I mean, Christian Ramirez going out on presumably his day off, getting some Big Manny's pizza at the Adams Lounge. I mean, He's loving it. And that's sort of before his family are even over and he's completely settled. And he's already putting that in that kind of performance, buying into it that much. You can't follow him. And also, just quickly on his goal, how many times did we see that ball go across goal last season and nobody's there to put it in? Nobody's there to tap it home.
Yeah,
there he is.
I've seen somebody describe it as an Adam Rooney-esque type striker that was the positions Adam Rooney always found himself in, to just be there on the end of the ball. And what I took away from his performance yesterday wasn't just his attacking side, because, where I was sitting in the second half, I was kind of like in line with a crossbar. So it was kind of like Brilliant. Up and down to try and like to see. But I was really impressed by the defensive shift he put in, because there was a lot of blocks he was making at corners and, he seemed to be always there. So from a defensive point of view, it's quite impressive to see a striker putting in that shift on that side. But also when we got the penalty, he was desperate to take the penalty, but Ferguson came over and said, "No, this is mine." And there wasn't that like bickering that you sometimes see from players about he was desperate to get that goal, I think. And Jett's already scored in pre-season. He had that volley against Cali. So maybe he's thinking, I need to get break the duck. And I think that's going to be a huge thing for him, having done that on Thursday.
Definitely. I would say he's done that already before he's even properly settled here with his family and things. Good point about his defensive, his work rate as well, chasing lost causes down into the channels as well. Genuinely can't really fault him. He's not just that poacher. He looks genuinely brilliant. And the only problem is it's a shame he's 30. I would love to have him for years and years and years to come. But, beggars can't be choosers. But no, honestly, him and Jett, I'm a big fan of it. Very big fan of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said on Jet, they're mobile, quick feet, strong. Both of them have got excellent hold-up play, but I think, you know, when we watched, obviously watching games last season on TV, you saw that Jet was quick. But see, watching him in real life, I think you finally appreciate just how quick he actually is. And like you said, you know, both of them have got goals now early on. We're not fully firing yet. Exciting things to come, hopefully.
100%. And sorry to go back on. Sorry to go back onto Ramirez. When you mentioned about the penalty, that's exactly what you want to see. I never get it when strikers shy away from wanting to take the penalties. They're meant to be the goal scorers. So that's exactly what you want to see. He didn't cause too much of a fuss, but he was eager. That's perfect for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we haven't even mentioned Lewis Ferguson yet. Scored the penalty. And then a screamer from 30 yards, but probably question marks around the keeper. That's been an extra $5 million, please, Watford.
Basically, yeah, I said as soon as that went, the second one, I was like, add another million onto the price tag. And as soon as that left his boot, though, you could tell by the keeper's positioning, because we were in the Dick Donald right behind it. It's like, there's no way he's getting there. That's going straight in. What a hit. Good confidence as well from him. He looked so comfortable. He looked so comfortable, which we know, obviously, that's what he's like. But at times last season, he maybe wasn't at his best, whether that's him, the rumours of whatever going elsewhere.
Maybe the COVID issue that we obviously suffered with Scotland on 21.
COVID issue, what he was being asked to do tactically, who knows. But he looked back to his best, and hopefully, it'd be nice to get another season out of him. It'd be nice to get another season out of him, to be honest. And I think it might be good for him to learn from Brown for a season. Maybe hopefully end up with a winner's medal or two. You never know. You never know.
Yeah, and it was interesting hearing in the post-match interviews that he actually said, you know, he's been asked to shoot more from distance because he always gets himself into that sort of area. So obviously, again, something that's been worked on in training, paying off on the pitch. But I totally agree with what you said there. I was behind it, right in line with it from the Mirkland side, and as soon as it left his boot, the keeper was just positioned so poorly.
Scrambling.
Never getting there. What we haven't mentioned yet, obviously the wing-backs, we've touched on Calvin Ramsey. Young Jack McKenzie came on in the second half. What pace and energy he provided. And he grabbed himself two assists to go with the one assist that Calvin bagged in the first half. Wing-backs contributing. Great.
Yeah, 100%. It's very, very encouraging, the pair of them. McKenzie came on for Hayes. Maybe not Hayes' best game, but even then, I'm not even going to bother trying to complain about it, to be honest. I don't care. It was absolutely, it's fine. It's fine. But no, McKenzie, very, very encouraging. Good to see from him. He looks just as good defensively as he does going forward. And as you say, contributed for two goals. What more can you really ask? You can't ask anything more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've spoken about so many positive things. Last season, the only positive we really spoke about was Ryan Hedges. It's great that we've got so many other players, you know, standing out and being accountable for, because with all the goals, the only real involvement Hedges had was winning the penalty.
I know, it seems weird to have barely mentioned him this far into a podcast, considering that is all we spoke about basically last season. But it's encouraging, and it's not even like slander on him, because he still had a very, very good game, still contributed, him and Ramsey down the right-hand side, linking up very well, it would seem. Very, very encouraging. You know, I'm just delighted. I don't know. I almost can't stop smiling. It's great.
And a final word then on the performance. We'll give it to Conor McLennan for rounding off the night. Excellent for Conor's confidence getting on the score sheet. For those of you that will have listened to his interview on Red TV, he's maybe hoping to find a more settled position this season instead of right back, because he openly admitted he wasn't comfortable there. A player that at times we weren't sure if his brain and feet were fully engaged, because, you know, kind of runs with his head down, but hopefully a sign of things to come. He's got a good pre-season behind him, well coached, working alongside Alan Russell. Okay, the keeper's got to do a lot better, I think, for the goal, but You're a big fan of Connor. You want to take it away?
Well, I mean, I think at times, even last night, there did look a little bit of a missing link between his brain and his feet at times. But I thought he looked like he was playing with confidence again, which is exactly what I want to see. That's coming off the bench, not even after starting or getting a run of games. It's all you can ask for. And with the goal, yeah, okay, keeper again didn't cover himself in glory, but Connor's putting him in that position. And I mean, if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery, as they say. So fair play to Connor, and hopefully more to come. Hopefully his confidence will carry on growing and performances will keep getting better. Can't fault him again, really, other than sometimes forgetting what he's doing with his feet. But it's fine. He'll get there. He's still young.
Yeah, and I suppose you should give shout-outs to the other two debutants in Teddy Jenks and Jack Gurr. Jenks obviously just getting a few minutes. We've not seen enough for him to pass judgment. Jack Gurr looked solid enough in what he had to do against a pretty tired-looking Haken by the time he came on.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too concerned by what I saw. Didn't really add much to the performance. It just kept things solid.
Basically, yeah, just kept things ticking over, which is, you know, that's all you were really looking for him there, I suppose. Just don't have a disaster, mate. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sort of a risk-free signing. It's a one-year deal. I mean, and then if he does turn out to be brilliant, that's fine. We can keep him for longer. But for now, if him and Ramsey are in competition for it, I'm very happy with that, in all honesty.
Yeah. Now, you said you don't want to be too negative, and you touched on Hayes, who obviously did come in for a bit of criticism I saw last night online based on his performance. But for me, if that's the criticism that's going to be coming in, I think it's also equally encouraging because it just shows how well both Calvin Ramsey and Jack McKenzie, who came on as a substitute, performed, that folk have spotted that Johnny didn't have his best game. And if he didn't have his best game and we're starting Jack McKenzie over Johnny Hayes, it's an excellent substitute to bring on.
Exactly. It can only be a good thing that McKenzie came on and had that impact and sort of did realise, Hayes maybe didn't have his best game. But even then, it's not a giant concern, is it? It's absolutely fine. And hopefully, as long as it's not a sort of regular occurrence, then we'll be okay. But as I said, I'm not even going to bother complaining about it that much. Like, we've still won 5-1, mate. It's okay.
obviously, we've conceded again. You know, we've only kept one clean sheet under Stephen Glass in that friendly against St Johnstone before the Haken game. You know, to kind of touch on what you said, it's hard to be negative about conceding a goal when you win 5-1 and away goals don't count. But what encouraged me last night is, okay, when we conceded, we looked a bit wobbly for 5-10 minutes, I thought, and I think Haken were very unlucky not to grab a second goal. There was a wee header from a corner that flashed past the face of the goal. I don't know how it looked from your side, but certainly behind the goal in the Mirkland, it was far too close for comfort.
Sorry, that's all. Yeah, it was terrifying. Yeah.
But we then didn't rest on our laurels. We went and pushed on and got another two goals, and we now head to Gothenburg with a 4-goal cushion. That's very encouraging.
Exactly. I think when McInnes left, I said, whoever comes in, whoever, employ whoever promises as many 4-2 wins as possible. 5-1's okay with me as well. If we're going to score 5 goals, I don't care if we concede one. It's absolutely fine. Obviously, it would be nice if maybe we did concede a little bit of a sloppy goal, but the striker took it well. That's absolutely fine. Got to probably head over there and think the tie's just about done. Obviously, can't rest on our laurels, and I can't imagine, given our performance on Thursday, that we will. We'll probably go for it and try and put lambs to the slaughter again, which is very much welcome. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, based on what David Priest said in the pre-match preview, that Swedish teams aren't used to playing Sunday, Thursday, and, you know, all those games, they only play once a week. So they looked leggy towards the end of the game. They'll be playing again this weekend. So we have the luxury of not playing this weekend. So come Thursday, again, we could see them beginning to tire towards the end of the game.
And not only they were tiring, they seem to be picking up quite a few niggly injuries as well, which is probably as a result of the sort of overload, I guess, of games that they're playing that they're not used to. It's a very good sign that we're going in over there with a 5-1 victory. If we then can add maybe another one or two whilst we're there and then start resting, sort of maybe the more experienced players ahead of Dundee United, even better. So, well, fingers crossed that'll happen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, but just one, before I get onto that, just on the goal itself, obviously, you said Yeremyev took it excellently. Mm-hmm. Are you a bit concerned, though? Like, I know just the way, like we said, it's a new centre-back pairing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get too down on it given the result, but the excellent through ball. Ross McCrory can't quite cut it out. But Considine maybe just switching off for a second and doesn't show him down the line, allows him that little bit of time to cut back inside, and obviously curls it round him into the corner. You know, Jolish really doesn't have any chance, but doesn't for you obviously don't think it takes away too much?
No, it's a minor concern, but even at that, it's a stretch because it won't be the partnership, I can't imagine, for going forward most of the season. And when you've scored 5 goals, I mean, if there's a lapse in concentration, that's the best time to have it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I suppose, well, what you were touching on before I rudely interrupted there was, you know, the ability to rest players next week. Declan Gallagher, a player we've not seen for Aberdeen yet, suspended last night after his red card for Motherwell in the previous season's competition. Do you think we will see him start next week, or... you know, to try and get him up to speed? Would you look to kind of start players that haven't maybe had as many minutes in pre-season? Or would you look to go out strong and then, you know, at halftime, if this, you know, 0-0, say at halftime, you then go, right, we'll make our changes now and see out the second half?
I'd prefer if they did the latter, ideally. Because we don't want to chop and change it too much, especially it would be very, very harsh to say drop. It wouldn't be dropping, but for someone else to miss out. Yeah, for someone to miss out, it would be very, very harsh after that performance. I'd rather they did maybe go, well, I'd say 0-0, even absolutely fine, and then sort of rest these players ahead of the Dundee United game. But if there was one player I would expect to come, it probably would be Declan Gallagher, considering we don't have many centre-halves, and he's probably going to be... we're going to be very reliant on him so far this season, providing, well, assuming we maybe will bring someone else in, or Mikey Devlin might, if who knows what's going on with him. So I think Gallagher will maybe come in, but I can't imagine too many changes.
No, yeah, I think I probably will see the latter of what I said, but it's a luxury to have. We've not often had this in Europe. The kind of last time I remember being so comfortable going into a second leg was the Dugava Riga game, but we all know that was a bit under a bit different circumstances with the alleged match fixing that followed. Do you expect any form of reaction from Häcken next week? You know, I think the Swedish media were very surprised by our performance. I think many of our own fans would probably agree. We were also surprised by just how good we were. What do you think we can expect next week, if at all anything, or do you think the tie is as good as done?
You would think they would have to have some sort of reaction, and going by the recent form as well, they are capable. Obviously, the type of opposition they're playing, we aren't too sure of. Basically, all we've got to go off of is Häcken themselves. You would expect some sort of reaction, and apparently their manager refused to concede that the tie was over. Interesting. I'll have whatever he's having, but you know they've got to try basically.
Well, I suppose he's got to feed that confidence to the players. It's not worth him saying it's over, but
true.
And it's weird. It's still, even for me, you know, going there with a 4-goal lead, you're never comfortable with Aberdeen because you never know what can happen. But you'd like to think it's as good as done, but. We never know what can happen in football. Stranger things have happened.
If anyone could cock it up, though, it probably is Aberdeen Club de Football, isn't it?
Yeah, but hopefully Stephen Glass's masterclass is well underway, and we'll see more of his excellent soccer ball continuing next week against Häcken, and then into the Scottish Premiership season, as you said, Calum, starting against Dundee United a week on Sunday. We will be back reviewing the second leg next week, probably out quicker than this episode has been, just due to obviously no fans going over to Sweden. And we'll touch briefly on the Dundee United game in that episode, but we will also have another episode out next week. So as Callum said, if you are listening or watching, make sure you've subscribed with the notifications on to get an alert for when that episode is released. We'll be delighted to be joined by Robbie Hanratty and the AFC Women's captain, Kelly Forrest, to look back on the AFC Women's title-winning season and then also have a preview of the Premiership season from the men's perspective and what we kind of hope for, looking forward to this season, what our expectations are, just on as a kind of a whole season preview. So tune in for that.
100%. I'd just like to end a note on, not only thank you very much for having me back, Glenn, but thank you for having me back, viewers, after I went a little bit AWOL in the last episode. So hope you've enjoyed it. Please don't slate me too much. And don't forget to like, subscribe, comment down with your thoughts and things as well. And follow us wherever you're listening as well.
Podcast Network.